Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
McCarthy out of the shotgun, milking a three-point lead. It is a run-pass option. McCarthy takes off to the right,
stands
to the
out.
10.
Yes.
Stutter steps at the 5. Touchdown! He's J.J. McCarthy!
The Vikings Radio Network. That didn't mean a whole heck of a lot through the first three quarters, but in the last quarter, J.J. McCarthy turned into Superman. Three straight touchdown drives. They were trailing by 11 points heading into the fourth. They end up winning this game 27-24. Kevin O'Connell, Pearl, now 6-1 against the Bears and beats Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams with that pair making their debut.
Oh, okay. Is this so you could get a shot? Like, usually, like, Kevin O'Connell beats Ben Johnson. Face it, you're after Ben Johnson.
I'm after him. No.
But by the way, actually,
I'm not, but I was not very impressed with the debut. That's
well,
fair.
Yeah, I
that's
mean,
fair.
It's his first game. I totally understand what you're saying. He's an interesting guy, but he looks like so kind of intense. I could tell he kind of tried to dial it back a little bit last night. He was trying to stay calm and keep Caleb calm because I read all these stories about him. Apparently, he's just a madman behind the scenes, just like kind of a yeller.
Yeah. Isn't every coach probably?
No, there's definitely styles. Like Kevin O'Connell is definitely not. Yeah, his style, Ben Johnson, is the rip, get after you, where a lot of coaches build you up. So I do think, you have to admit, a quarter through, it looked amazing with Caleb Williams.
Like, a drive through. The first drive, I thought, looked amazing. And then things started to show a little bit of cracks of the unraveling here when they followed up the 10-play touchdown drive to start. Vikings go 3-and-out. J.J. McCarthy doesn't know what he's looking at. And the Bears' next couple possessions, punt, turnover on downs when they should have kicked a field goal, punt, field goal, end of the half.
But they were still moving the ball. The second half, they didn't move it at all.
Yeah, well, okay.
They were getting first downs. I think there was a lot of positive around Caleb Williams. If you ignore the expectations and you looked at that, you might look at that field and say, ooh, that guy's very promising. He's incredibly mobile, has a crazy arm. He needs a run game to help a little bit. You're not going to get any easy looks downfield if you're in 3rd and 8 on every single drive.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that. No, the run game kind of disappeared a little bit in the third quarter. It was almost like the team got kind of motivated from the fact that they honored the 85 Bears, which they weren't on the field to see anyway. But it almost felt a little bit like, DeAndre Swift maybe saw a little of the Walter Payton highlights or something like that. But it didn't last very long. And the Vikings defense was fantastic in the second half. I guess here's my thing about Ben Johnson. I was not that impressed with the debut, and he'll grow on the job, and that's fine. It has nothing to do with his demeanor or anything like that. I just don't know if this is square peg, round hole when it comes to Caleb Williams. You know, I think that a great head coach takes all the positives that a player has and accentuates those. And I thought you saw some of that with Caleb, for sure. But we did still see a lot of holding on to the ball and things like they haven't corrected everything, which is fine. It's a total work in progress.
How do you know that's not Caleb?
It might be. But I watched Ben Johnson, who we don't have a ton of track record with in the NFL, but obviously like made his bones with the Detroit Lions with Jared Goff, who is just like the maybe complete polar opposite to Caleb Williams. And so, yeah, maybe you meet in the middle, but that could be a little painful. Like there could be some serious growing pains, and it's not necessarily me who put the expectations on the Bears this year. They put the expectations on themselves. Caleb said 4,000-yard passer, wants to complete 70% of his passes, and it's fine to show us your vision board, but at the same time, if you come out and look like you did last night with Brian Flores really confusing you through most of that game, then you know you're going to look like you're failing.
Well, Kevin O'Connell is considered one of the best offensive coaches in the league, and his first-round quarterback either would throw the ball right into the lineman's hands or not be able to get the snap off for three quarters of that game.
Yeah, it was
does that
rough.
Mean Kevin O'Connell wasn't doing a good job?
No, but look, what did the fourth quarter show you? I mean, the fourth quarter,
yeah, what did
J.J. McCarthy,
by the way, did you see Caleb's last drive?
Well, okay, but I also think the Vikings at that point were up 10 with about 3.5 minutes left to go. I thought the Vikings just sort of relaxed a little too much on that final drive. We could talk about that. But J.J. McCarthy is making his first start ever in the NFL. Yeah. Caleb Williams had all of last year. Granted, the coaching staff may not have been good, but they both look kind of confused for a lot of the game out there. But J.J. settled in the fourth quarter, which a lot of these NFL games come down to the fourth quarter, Pearl.
I think confused because Brian Flores was messing up the looks. And by the way, I think even a veteran would have been confused because I've seen it happen before.
Yeah.
What happened too is the Bears offense was not moving and their defense got exhausted. And that got made life so much easier for J.J. McCarthy. So honestly, like if somehow the Bears had won this game, I think you would have been ripping. You wouldn't have ripped Kevin O'Connell. I just think that I think this came down to like a whole team game. I don't think it was coaching. I think there were a lot of things. I think, honestly, the defensive or offensive line battles, the Vikings started to really, really win those decisively. And this Bears revamp offensive line, they kept putting this graphic up with Joe Tooney and all this money they paid and all these first-round picks. I don't know if that all worked, Mac.
Yeah, some major penalties, too, at bad times against the offensive line. 12 penalties in all for the Bears on the evening, which was a lot. We asked you on X, are you buying or selling your Caleb Williams stock today? 69% of you say you are selling it.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought you might like that. Another question for you. So Kevin Warren, who is the president of the Bears, also sent a letter to season ticket holders, I believe it was yesterday, telling them that the stadium in Arlington Heights, a Chicago suburb, is a go, and it's going to be a domed stadium. Our
Yuck.
Question for you on X, do you have a problem with the Bears building an indoor stadium? Right now, no. Narrowly edging out, yes. 51% say no.
That's so weak. A dome suburban stadium for Chicago. You have it right downtown. I mean, come on. I am not a fan of I must be honest, I don't like suburban stadiums, and I definitely don't like domes for NFC North teams.
Not a fan of Highmark Stadium, Perloff.
Yeah, Foxborough. I mean, there's a lot of them are in the state, are in the suburbs, though, partially because of politics, right?
That's... Well, I mean, being in the suburbs of Buffalo, that's like, what's the difference? I mean, that's like, you can't put Foxborough is basically Providence, Rhode Island. Like,
yeah,
that's just stupid.
One road in, one road out of Foxborough.
I think New York is the worst setup in the entire country.
Oh, big time.
Well, you can blame your pal James Dolan for that. They would have put a stadium right here in New York City.
You sat next to him in a game.
Oh,
true. Sorry. Love you, James Dolan.
It's the New York Knicks, damn it.
But I just think that football's meant, it was beautiful last night. It was an incredible TV product. It's meant to be played outside.
September.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Like,
I know.
That's the other thing. If Caleb Williams, if they can't win these ones when the weather is perfect, you know, how are things going to go when the weather gets real nasty?
But, I mean, I didn't come up with this, but there, I don't have the data at my fingertips. There is something to be said. When it gets cold out, it seems like the teams that play outdoors in the cold weather have an advantage. Because, listen, Tua, I don't think he's getting deep in the playoffs this year. But do you think the Miami Dolphins are ever going to get through the AFC playoff field? Do you think that Lamar is not suffering? I mean, Baltimore is a little cold itself, but it's not a great example. But I think weather, like Kansas City knows how to play in cold weather, choppy games. And then they get these dome teams in there soft, like Peyton. Like Tom Brady played in Foxborough. Peyton Manning played in Indy. Who is better in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean,
Bill Belichick.
I think there was a couple different reasons.
Apparently, that's not the thinking anymore,
true.
EJ. Yeah.
Very true.
You're on an island if you're giving Belichick any shred of credit. Clearly, he was just standing around watching Tom Brady warm up.
Yeah, I mean, they had Tony Dungy.
You know, you have all those exceptions. Like, you have the Rams beating the Bengals. You know, that's a warm-weather team beating a cold-weather team. Like
beating the Bengals? The Bengals were 10-7 and stuck into the playoffs. That was...
I'm just saying, if you want me to poke holes in that argument, I can do it.
So can I. The Giants have stunk for 10 years, and they still play in New York.
Jets been playing outside for 15 years. I haven't made the playoffs.
Well, okay. All right. If you look at this century, I'll bet you the cold weather teams have won 70% of the
Super Bowls. Because of Brady and Mahomes, just a period. They've just won so much.
Right,
and Brady
saying.
Won in Tampa, and he loved it. He's like, I wish I had been a warm weather quarterback his whole career.
Went to Green Bay and kicked Aaron Rodgers' ass. You know, he threw three picks right now.
Yeah.
That's another quarterback that won in a cold weather city.
Yeah. It was sort of the critique of Jared Goff that he's great in warm weather, but once the playoffs start, He's got to go outside. It's going to be tough.
And he attacked that narrative on quarterbacks, the Netflix series.
Yeah, he did. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, asking for whether or not you're buying or selling your Caleb Williams stock after what we saw last night. Good on the first drive. Dude's got talent. Like, let's not, you know, completely throw the baby out the bathwater here. The problem is this the right head coach quarterback combination? Adrian in Maryland, not pleased with me over something I said last hour, which was going back over the Green Bay tape against the Lions and just how good Micah Parsons looked in limited snaps is going to make the Cowboys eat their words on Micah Parsons. What's up, Adrian?
Hey, Meg. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in you. I think, like Perloff said, I think it could be a win-win for both clubs. Green Bay was basically a one or two player away. Dallas is probably five or six players away. So for the trade they made, fill some holes. They can get some holes with the first rounder. And Green Bay, they get the pass rusher they probably needed. As far as you said, there's a cloud over Dallas's head. If there was a cloud over their head, they would have got blown out in Philadelphia. I mean, straight blown out. They would have been thinking about it. They're over it. I don't think the media is over it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I guess it's, you know, you guys are going to
get. Yeah, but Adrian, do you not agree with me that let's say the Packers, let's say worst case scenario for the Cowboys, Packers win the Super Bowl. You're telling me that that's not going to become, there's not going to be people who are chapped in Dallas over that?
No, we're chapped, but we weren't going to win the Super Bowl with them.
Yeah, so that's Jerry's fault. That's Jerry's problem. The fact that you have to trade away your best player or one of your best players because you're that far away from the Super Bowl is not Micah Parsons' fault.
Maggie, only reason I'm upset with it is because, like you said, he should have did it in the spring. If he did it in the spring, it's fine. And I think they did talk about it in the spring, but they just didn't pull the trigger then.
So depends who you talk to. Adrian, we were trying to get the answer on that. Depends who you talk to. If you talk to Jerry Jones, he says, yes, this was all like, we've been thinking about trading him this whole time, and you guys are a bunch of rubes for believing anything different. Then we talked to Diana Rossini, who's pretty plugged in on the Cowboys and everyone else, who said Jerry had to be basically brought into a room 3 weeks ago and told, hey, we got to start really thinking about trade packages, like for real, if this is going to go down. Yeah. So depends who you talk to, Adrian. Crushed. Okay.
Well, if I'm the GM, I basically would have made him play this year out and then traded him in the spring and got your draft pick then in 2026. Jerry's just, he's senile and he's kind of slow these days. But if I'm the GM, I make him play this 2025 out. If he doesn't want to play, he doesn't get any money and he loses another year. So that was the thing. But like I said, the Dallas is over it. The team is over it. I don't know if the media and everybody else, the hype and stuff is over, but the team is over it. They're going to play okay. I'm going to say 8, 9, maybe 10 wins, and then they'll build for next year.
Well, Adrian, you and I are aligned on some things there, which is I would have also had Michael Parsons play out the year.
It does seem like the locker room does not care. I mean, that all indications are, that is true. And by the way, there are a lot of teams who are, you know, this contract's risky. It's a lot of money for Micah Parsons. So it's not, if he was cost assured, then fine. But I don't think this, even if they win the Super Bowl, I don't think Dallas fans are going to, it's not quite the same as Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, the only thing is about the Packers are not like a risky organization, you know, unless you count drafting quarterbacks in the first round and having them sit as something that's risky. I think some people look at that as saying it's so sound what they do. They seem risk-averse to me, and they're the ones who were belly up to the bar, please let us pay Micah Parsons and overpay, quite frankly, because if you just go by average annual value, T.J. Watt was like 42, and Micah got 47? I mean...
So, yeah, I think the Packers are... There's a little bit of desperation here. I mean, it's been a while. You know, they've been in the playoffs a lot and have nothing to show for it.
Let's go to Stan, who's in Westport, Connecticut, wants to weigh in on the Giants quarterback situation, which is normally not that interesting, but it is now because Jackson Dart. Yeah, Stan, you know what I'm talking about. Jackson Dart at least might give you a fighting chance. Russell Wilson looked overmatched in the opener.
Yep, for sure. There's no confidence there. But before I say about the Giants, I got to shout out to Pearl. Great call on the outdoor stadium. I distinctly remember the 85 Bears against the Rams in the championship game at Soldier, and the Rams were in the tunnel pregame, and they were showing the long shot, and they were, like, jumping around, like, rubbing their arms. I mean, they were done, like, before they even walked on the field.
Yeah,
it was
but
crazy.
Stan, who did the Bears beat in the Super Bowl that year? New England.
Yeah, but that was indoors.
No, but New England right. was a cold weather team you would think would be gritty. I think the Bears were just beating anybody.
No. The advantage is
I mean, listen, that's one of the greatest teams of all time for sure. But
But the advantage is when you draw the warm weather team into a cold weather.
No, right. I get that. But we're talking about the Super Bowl. Most often they're in warm weather.
Exactly.
Right. But you get them in the title game.
Got it. Okay.
You want them to fear coming to your house.
Got it.
But anyway, look, with the Giants, this is a crazy thing because there is no confidence from coaching and management in this team. And Russell Wilson's a great example. They only allowed him short drops because they knew that they would have a problem with the OL, yet they did all these things and brought the same OL back. So it's like the insanity of it all is just mind-boggling. Then I was thrilled when they signed Jameis because I think Jameis is like a Mayfield-esque resurrection project, perhaps. The guy's had 38 games in his career of over 100 QB rating. I mean, he can play. The point is, a couple days after that, they bring in Russell Wilson. I'm like, what's going on here? And now everybody here is pining, begging, demanding that Dart come in like next week. And I think that is the most insane notion in history. Because first of all, if you look at the preseason, they only allowed the kid like dinks and dunks. Like if that happens in the real world in a regular season game, and especially with the tough schedule coming up, they're going to ruin this kid for life. And last thing is, Dable is no quarterback whisperer. He failed to resurrect Jones or even help Jones very much, right? That deteriorated. He DeVito was a project. That didn't go anywhere, and now he's somewhere else. And now you're going to hand him Dart. I mean, I don't get it. It's crazy. So,
well,
I'll
Stan, thank you so much for the phone call. Listen, I'll put it this way. Josh Allen's made a lot of people a lot of money. Oh! Brian Daboll is one of them. Although Daboll did also have a nice college career as well as a coach.
So Joe Shane.
I got to be honest, like Brian, the current OC is probably having his second best quarterback coach connection. It's Joe Brady, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he was the god with Burrow, in college.
Yeah, and then they went, he was where? North Carolina, or the Charlotte.
Yeah, it didn't work
Carolina
out.
Carolina Panthers. I don't know why it took me forever to get to that. Didn't work out as well. They all got fired with Matt Rhule.
A gobble, gobble, goo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jameis is on this roster. Doesn't make
a
lot of sense.
I was with Stan until he said Dable failed to develop Tommy Cutlet somewhere.
Yeah, that was a tough take.
Although, yeah, I mean, DeVito's
not wrong, but I mean, could anybody develop Tommy Cutlet?
Actually, Tommy Cutlet's not bad. He's not he looks like he's got a good arm. Yeah. I think he's a backup quarterback level player.
The progressive commercial is like one of the best. What a great highlight.
A by the way, I'm
watching it 100 times a night.
I know a lot of phone calls sitting here, but I have some research on how dome teams have done over the Super Bowl era.
Oh, yes.
You want to hold it until after the break?
I mean, listen, if you're in your cars and sorry, you're going to have to wait 5 minutes to get this tidbit. you're going to be late to work.
Good.
Call your boss because the numbers have arrived.
Do not move. Perloff's research comes your way next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. EJ picks the Defensive Player of the Week every week. I would assume week one NFL, we might go NFL. I have a guess, Maggie. I'm sure you have a guess too.
Yeah.
I will go with Myles Garrett because of that one video that we were all watching where he stunts around the middle and chases down Joe Burrow, and it's just absolutely terrifying. So I will go 2 sacks, Myles Garrett. Had some other big, I think he had some TFLs as well. So Browns, former defense player of the year, Myles Garrett's my choice. Meg?
Oh, man, I'm trying to read EJ's mind here. I actually think EJ went college. USF pulling off the upset of Florida because EJ hates Florida because he's a Miami Hurricanes fan.
That is a fact.
Ipso facto, somebody from the USF Bulls.
Wow.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Oh. Go Bills.
I formation here from Baltimore. Jackson under center. Going to hand it off to Henry. And he's bottled up. The ball is out. It's loose. Who's got the football? It's Buffalo ball at the Baltimore 30-yard line. Terrell Bernard.
The Bills make me wanna.
Not Terrell Bernard, but he's basically the only guy who played any defense in this game. But I'm going to shout him out anyway. Ed Oliver is the defensive player of the week.
Go Bills.
He had a sack. He had that forced fumble, which turned around the entire game. And I'm not kidding. Like, it really felt like he was the only guy making any plays for either team. I mean, he really was a difference maker. And I think maybe he's starting to come into his own. He was a big recruit out coming to Houston, now in the NFL, first-round pick, starting to become a real star. Ed Oliver, defensive player of the week.
You guys are total idiots.
Not Jalen Ramsey?
Come on now.
Ed Oliver got paid,
too. You can't play 59 minutes and make two plays and then be defensive player of the week. Sorry.
Well, EJ, I can't complain with that. I did not think you'd go to a game where 81 combined points were scored for your defensive player.
500 yards.
It was the key to point of the game, key turnover in the game.
I mean, I thought Ed Oliver was great, but like that game?
It's the player, not the game. He's the defensive player.
He's definitely not the defensive player of the week, but wait until the awards come out. They are not going to pick the Bills or the Ravens. They will get both offensive player, actually, they're both one per conference, right? So you can't get them both. But
should have been Jalen Carter, right, man?
By the way, you know who I think is the most impressive defensive? I got to tell you, I'm obsessed. I want to go straight for Brian Burns so bad.
Oh, yeah,
that guy is a star.
How do you want every great? How many guys, good guys, do you need?
Well, they're desperate. Like they tried out Mike Hilton, the cornerback. Like they are so desperate right now. Their defense is in bad shape, and nobody except me in this entire planet cares about that.
Well, because you guys are the reigning Super Bowl champs, so we really can't get up the, excitement.
You want me to cry for you, bro?
Yeah.
They just became the ninth team in a row to sign Za'Darius Smith, hoping that he still has something left in the tank.
You want Brian Burns?
Yeah.
You want Brian Burns for the Eagles? Give us the next 20 first-round draft picks. He's yours.
Done.
Okay.
I don't think that's Howie Roseman's analytics philosophy.
Well, 20, he did offer,
20 first-round
wasn't
picks.
It 2 hours ago that Perloff was like, I could have been an NFL GM.
Yeah. Yeah. By hiring felons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the key.
I did draft Justin Fields on my fantasy football team.
Is he a felon?
And he was sitting on my bench as he scored all those points on Sunday.
It's too much of an upstanding citizen.
He wants
for your
to be
team.
A GM of an NFL team. He can't even general manage his fantasy team.
Hey, listen. It was Justin Fields, man. I'm not a miracle worker here. Like, I knew he was going to go off against the Steelers.
By the way,
Aaron Glenn is.
See you guys on the phone to get to you in a moment. But we do have an update on Perloff with the Survivor Pool. Our Survivor Pool, you're still alive, but you were talking on the air about the Survivor Pool that your friend wanted you to pay $500 for that you didn't realize was $500. What's the latest?
Oh, I think I said this yesterday on the air, didn't I, that I got out of it. Was that off air?
It was off air.
So
tell us on the air.
My friend, what did I do? I have a betting fantasy partner, and he's in this, I think it's like $40,000 or something, Survivor Pool,
Good
and
Lord.
He has 31 teams, and he's like, all right, well, you owe $500 this year. I owe $500 for what? And he's like, you're in the pool. I'm like, I'm not paying $500 for this. Not right now. I like to lose in smaller chunks.
Yeah, week by week.
So he put all 31 teams on the Broncos last week.
Oof.
And that was scary times.
Wow.
There
was no way that the Titans were actually going to win that game, but it was just too close for comfort.
Yeah. By the way, I never paid off the dome teams. There's also research the Broncos have a massive home field advantage early in the season because of the altitude.
Yeah.
So
you were talking about dome teams because Kevin Warren, the president of the Bears, sent out a letter to season ticket holders. Arlington Park is a go, and it's going to have a dome. And you have a big problem with the Chicago Bears playing in a dome stadium.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's so much anecdotal and statistical evidence that cold weather teams have an advantage in the playoffs. If the game is in cold weather, obviously, if they play warm weather teams, four dome teams have won the Super Bowl, and three of them, according to my research, unless I'm missing anyone who's more recent, three of them did not have to go outdoors at all in the playoffs. The only team that did go outdoors in the playoffs was the 2006 Colts, and they beat Rex Grossman and the Bears. So that's like an asterisk. Like, I mean, we could organize a group of 18 other people and beat the Bears.
To beat the Patriots to get there.
Here he is with the GM.
I feel like Lance Briggs is about to walk through the door, and I don't want to point at Perloff.
I saw, as of a few years ago, the Saints, Vikings, and I believe the Rams have a horrible winning percentage when they go outdoors. Like, it's hard for these dome teams to play all year in a dome. And then if they get brought into deep water in KC or New England, the stats have not been good, which makes perfect logical sense.
You know, you clown that Bears team with Rex Grossman that made the Super Bowl, but remember that actual game? Wasn't it a torrential downpour in that game?
Like
that?
All I remember is Prince.
Yeah, and he was performing in the rain. Remember? Yeah. That should have been advantage Bears, no?
I mean, that Bears team had no chance. They were a one-man gang. If Devin Hester didn't return every punt and kickoff for a touchdown, then there's no way. Or Mike Brown got a safety. Like, that team was a special teams defense. That was not a good Super Bowl team. In fact, I bet you if you look at lists of worst Super Bowl teams ever, that's got to be low up on there. There is a lot of course the cold weather teams have an advantage. So if you're Chicago, it's part of your identity though. You get soft if you go indoors.
Their identity, they're just trying to make the playoffs again, I think. I mean, they want a 4,000 yard passer, or heaven forbid a 5,000 yard passer, then the dome's got to be where it's at. I commend them for doing this.
Listen, it's only 300 miles away in Lambeau. Guys are winning MVPs. You're telling me you can't, you have to go indoors to beat Eric Kramer's single season record of 3,800 yards? That's ridiculous. And also, I don't love that it's in the suburbs. I'm just going to be honest. Why do you have to go to Arlington Heights?
That's like local politics stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't want the stadium out there, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going on. Right. I don't know.
You're
all
like wishing pie in the sky.
I mean, it's really cool. I just think that where that stadium is, the scenics are beautiful. I don't know. I'm definitely. And also, I don't love the Vikings. You know, what have the Vikings won since they moved indoors?
Well, the Vikings have one of the most tortured playoff histories imaginable.
You could have just said, what did they win outdoors?
That's true.
Too. 1 year in recent history, they were outdoors. Yeah. Remember, Blair Walsh missed a field goal that was 2 feet away, 100 yards out of the stadium.
The Minnesota Vikings should be hard-nosed Vikings, Norse gods. They should play for cold weather. When the playoffs start, they bring in the LA Rams, and the Rams are like, oh no, it's too cold. We don't want to go out here. And then they lose. They get killed. That's what Minnesota should do. That's
counterpoint, Randy Moss is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Counterpoint. Thank God for that.
So is Chris Carter.
Counterpoint, come playoff time, we see what the Vikings do.
How about they just put Randy Moss on the Manning cast for every single Vikings game?
It never even occurred to me that you should play like your mascot. they should play like Vikings?
Skull.
No, it's not. Skull. It's the whole area, like Minnesota. Like, you should play like you are a cold weather team in Minnesota. That would be a huge home field advantage.
They should take a page out of the Twins playbook. They play outdoors.
I'll be honest.
I don't think it would be an advantage for them. It is so ridiculously cold and snow. It snows basically every day in Minnesota after November. I think that they'd be a terrible team.
No. They'd be great. They should revamp their team, stop all this fancy passing, which actually they did last night. Those linemen, it should be minus 10 degrees, and your linemen are wearing short sleeves, and bring in the other team and just watch them melt.
What happened to this country?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, what happened to football? You got to go indoors. It's not a video game, guys. This is actual men playing a man sport.
I just had a vision of somehow Manny just catapulting to the top of the radio industry by coming on every show and just being like, what has America come to? And all of a sudden, just you see the ratings just going up and to the right. Well done, sir. Wow.
Yeah, if you want to transition to conservative talk radio and start, listen.
Yeah, have Roger.
Daddy needs an addition to his house.
You need a house, Daddy.
Perloff will be able to fund. He'll be able to fund the Bears' new stadium in Chicago with an open air.
Maybe for once I'd stop renting and actually own something.
I mean, what has this country come to? Cha-ching!
I say that every day.
Bogish has the latest and greatest. What's up?
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com.
I am not.
Ben Johnson is 0-1 as a head coach, despite a 17-6 third quarter lead on the Vikings at home outside last night.
Have a 17-6 lead and then see it go the way it did there in the fourth quarter. You know, we said going into week one that the team that would make the least number of mistakes would win the game. And unfortunately, we were on the wrong side of that. We made too many there late in the game, myself included.
His defense allowed 21 fourth quarter points to J.J. McCarthy in his first career start. His offense didn't score its second touchdown until there's 2 minutes left in the game. And his team committed 12 penalties for 127 yards. That 17-6 lead became a 27-24 loss. This is the Bears' fourth loss over the last four seasons, despite a double-digit fourth-quarter lead. No other team has more than two for the fight.
Are we sure that, so if a team has a lot of penalties, that's on the coach? Is that what we're saying?
Depends what kind of penalties they are.
Because I watched that Chargers-Chiefs game, and Juwan Taylor himself had 12 penalties.
Well, he's a walking false start.
So is that on Andy Reid? The Chiefs were false starting like crazy.
No, it's about the delay of games and the procedural stuff, I think, that generally comes back on the coach. Two young quarterbacks last night, so maybe it's forgivable.
Also, Juwan Taylor, not to even defend him, but like they almost never call that on him. He always false starts, and now they just started. I mean, good to start calling it, but I almost don't blame him or anybody.
I remember a few years ago there was an opening game where Juwan Taylor must have drawn six flags in a game. I don't even think that was the most flags he's ever gotten. But it is a similar problem. Like they don't know. Like there's something going wrong at the line with KC. Maybe it was something Brazil. I don't even know. But they had a million
samba music is coming.
Yeah, the halftime show that atmosphere.
Oh, Carol G. Well, Carol G.
Yeah. Carol G. could have caused some procedural issues.
Jeez, I saw her. I was like, egads. I've never seen a woman.
Oh, you guys
that
just met Carol G., huh?
She's got the pineapples and the tatas. I was like, that is tough to pull off.
I've been a fan of Carol G. since I was 17 years old.
I bet you have.
Does she
have a famous athlete boyfriend?
Not yet.
She will when she meets Manny Tires.
Damn right.
I was going to say, half the Chargers and Chiefs are probably in her DMs after that.
Except for Justin Herbert.
Right. And Travis Kelce.
Nah, who cares about him?
And I would hope Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick, get in her DMs, bro.
Oh, you're taking a shot at Brittany?
Yeah, darn tootin'. All right, back to the Vikings. They're 1-0 with McCarthy under center. His night included a pick six and just 143 passing yards. But the fourth quarter rallies the story. Here's his head coach, Kevin O'Connell.
I told him at halftime, you are going to bring us back to win this game. And the look in his eye was fantastic. And the best thing is just the belief I felt from the team, the unit. And ultimately, that doesn't get done without him in the second half.
McCarthy is the first QB since 1950 with a double-digit fourth-quarter comeback on the road in his debut. Pro Football Talk says a suspension for that spitter, Jalen Carter, is still possible. Any punishment is currently being finalized. Brian Callahan is lucky to be the head coach of the Titans. He made a huge mistake in Sunday's loss in Denver. And if he coached a team that more people cared about, Rex Ryan would be mocking him on TV. Callahan did not challenge a play where his receiver was ruled out of bounds on a catch, but replay showed his elbow got down before any body part was out of bounds. This was Callahan's post-game explanation.
You got to get a foot in bounds too, which we didn't have a clean look at whether his foot was down as well. An elbow doesn't equal 2 feet, so his foot would have had to come down as well. We didn't have a clean look, so the call from upstairs was that it wasn't more challenging.
I'm pretty sure all of us know that one elbow does equal 2 feet. Any non-hand, one of those is good instead of the 2 feet on a sideline play in the end zone. So he doesn't know the rules, although yesterday he told us, while taking responsibility for this, that he did know the rule, but he didn't. And no one, I guess the bigger thing is, and in front of the show, Amy Trask pointed this out on Twitter.
Can you put a sensor in a butt cheek?
Where were the people whose job this is in the headsets
right.
to say, you have to challenge this? Does this mean that people are afraid to like overrule him, so to speak?
Oh, I mean, that's from Amy. I wouldn't have even thought of that, but if she's saying it, then obviously she's got the internal knowledge of being the former front office for the Raiders. I guess like two things. One, you don't think coach's son would ever not have the rule book like under lock and key. We all know the butt cheek thing. So like the butt cheek begets the elbow.
Can you put a sensor in a butt cheek?
Like butt cheek equals 2 feet. We all know that one. And something's up with the challenges, because I even thought Ben Johnson last night, I thought that was a ridiculous challenge on the TJ Hockenson catch that he clearly caught and was down, and then the ball came out and he challenged it anyway, and he burned a timeout in the second half in a one-score game.
Yeah, challenges come from up top. The coaches can't see. They're on the sideline. Like, you think Brian Callahan could see what was down and what wasn't?
Yeah, so the guy, whoever he has in that booth, is what Bogus is saying, he didn't know and also doesn't know the rule book.
And he sounded like he didn't know the rule book, because then he repeated, if it was from the guy upstairs, he repeated a rule that doesn't exist.
Well, I got to be honest, like, that's a hard job, too, because you're also dependent on getting the camera angles there, too, which is really, to me, it's so weird, because I think they get, and correct me if I'm wrong, they have to wait on the broadcast, like the guys in the truck, to put up the different feeds. So it's hard. I mean, you guys think it's easy. There was a play last night.
No, I don't think it's easy. Yeah. I think it just needs to run better than it did for the Titans.
Yeah, that was a mistake. But last night there was a play where Roma Dunze, like, his elbow and his foot hit it literally within a millisecond. And, like, they move really fast, and the TV was way far behind. They'd already snapped the ball by the time that they really had a time to decide if they wanted to throw a challenge.
I'm still not sure if he caught that pass. I know exactly the play you're talking about.
Yeah. Everyone,
like,
on the internet,
did the elbow get down before he got out of bounds? I couldn't tell.
But I thought there's supposed to be eye in the sky on this stuff, because there was also a catch in the Bills-Ravens game, a Ravens player that was not a catch. And I thought it was, and Sean McDermott didn't challenge it, and I thought it was supposed to be like, isn't there supposed to be some Big Brother thing watching?
Well, replay assist, but they don't have a sky. But it takes a long time to figure out if it was a catch. You got to look at five different angles, what's hitting where, and where's the, and by the way, have we seen a lot of the short animations?
The Hawkeye you're talking about? Yeah. No. I think we saw it in the preseason.
We saw it in one game.
And they
said this is the very first one. Yeah. We haven't had this one yet. Now I can't remember what game it was.
I don't remember what it was either, because they didn't have a Thursday nor Friday night. And I remember watching Red Zone and they mentioned it.
Mm. Yeah, I remember they were talking about it.
It was in the early window. I remember that much.
That's right. It was Hansen explaining, here's the first one that we haven't had one yet.
I was going to say one thing about Brian Callahan. You know, his dad is one of the most famous offensive line coaches of all time, Bill Callahan. I want my coach, if, like, he's such an offensive line mentality, he doesn't even know what a catch is. But then I looked it up. He played quarterback in college, also, UCLA. So he should know what a catch is.
Where's dad on the elbow equals 2 feet?
His dad's on the staff, isn't he?
Yeah,
his dad, his dad knows. Are you kidding me? His dad knows how to pass block. He doesn't know what a catch is. That's like Bill Callahan.
He knows what a false start is.
He used to be a play caller.
He coached a team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he called plays for them.
Sort of. That team was sort of in the Super Bowl.
Sort of.
Well, fair.
Oh, Barrett Robinson. That was didn't show up.
You guys, by the way, the Bill Callahan Raiders team, I was at that Super Bowl. That was not good. that was a mess.
I was in Queens, New York. It didn't look good from here either.
Yeah. And do you remember the Nebraska year? It's not good either.
Yeah. It was terrible there.
I think they know the rule book, though.
Well, it's
you pay a guy to know the rule book. So, again, either...
It's
they're
possible a lot of things went wrong. Maybe they didn't see the elbow was down or something.
They also that's not what he said. He said elbow didn't, you got to get a foot in too. He knew the elbow was in and they thought he needed a foot as well.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Also, just the logistics of getting an elbow and a foot.
Right. Kinda, it's like not a twister.
Game of Twister.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, he possibly, they didn't get the actual analysis in time. And then he was just at the press conference and he didn't know what he was saying. That's clear that he didn't know what he was saying.
Well, I mean, but
that part
except
isn't arguable.
He literally says,
we
couldn't see if there was a foot, which means they were looking for a foot, which means that they didn't know the rule because his elbow being down was good enough.
Callahan is.
Good luck to
Callahan
you, Cam Ward.
I'm not feeling good about my guy.
Just everything about that offense was a mess. The run game looked like garbage.
Receivers Calvin can't Ridley. Catch the ball, can't get open.
I mean, Calvin Ridley, to be fair, probably has some action on that one.
You talked about that $500 buy-in, I'm like, there's definitely an NFL player that's linked into that somehow.
A $500 survivor pool?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. 888-710-4ISN. Bogus, thank you. See you guys on the phones. We will get to you. Also, we got to start having a serious conversation about the Chiefs. What's going on? MVP.
Those are big waffles.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is Carol G. She was the halftime performer Friday night in Brazil. definitely one of the highlights of the game. Again, it is hard to pull off a pineapple bra, and she was doing it with ease.
Manny's seal of improvement.
Yeah, Manny's giving it two thumbs up. Fine holiday fun.
Are you saying that from experience, Maggie?
Oh, God, no. No. Not going to be catching me dead in a fruit bra. But Dominic is in San Francisco. What's up, Dom?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Caleb Williams, don't you think a little overrated? I mean, big arm, quick feet, not really much else. J.J. McCarthy looked like somebody that really wanted to win the game. Caleb Williams wanted to be entertaining.
Ouch.
And that stream from Sao Paulo was awesome. I wish YouTube had broadcast every game.
Are you being sarcastic or are you serious?
No, I'm being serious. Okay. As a heart attack. With all due respect to heart attacks, I mean, it was just very, very well done.
Yeah, Dom, I mean, it looked pretty good to me. I'm trying to think, when did I have any buffering issues? I did have some buffering issues, actually, towards the end of that game. But I think it's a close game, and a lot of people
a lot of viewers on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, YouTube did a good job. That was certainly a fun game. Although the game itself was a little sloppy.
Do we need to have a conversation about the Chiefs? And maybe this is a bigger one. Listen, I felt like a little bit for the Chargers, it felt a little like their Super Bowl, which I hope it wasn't, but Jim Harbaugh was like, this date is going to live forever in Chargers lore because we finally beat the Chiefs. And I get it. It's a division opponent, and that's like your first baby steps is if you really want to be a contender, you got to take down some of the teams in your own division. The Chargers had not been able to do that. And then on top of it, Justin Herbert looked great in that game.
Justin Herbert's like finally, I mean, I would say lived up to the hype. He has had great seasons, but he was the better quarterback in the game. But I will say, I'm not panicked about the Chiefs or writing off the Chiefs yet. The Worthy injury, Xavier Worthy got hurt, ran into Travis Kelce. All their plans went awry from the moment. Like, if you have Worthy in that game instead of Hollywood Brown got a bulk of the targets, and he's just not as good as Xavier Worthy or Rashee Rice, and that cost him. But then the Chiefs offense, did you notice in the third or fourth quarter, bang, all of a sudden they were back. Like, Mahomes, like, figured out, okay, here's where I have to go with the ball. So they went TD field goal in their last three drives. They probably could have scored a TD on the last one. Maybe the Chargers were in prevent. Could have easily been. But the Chiefs clearly figured some things out in the second half.
Yeah, I just found it a little surprising that they needed that much time to adjust to Xavier Worthy not being in the game.
Well, and Rice isn't there, too.
Yeah, but they've known that. And they've known that for a long time. And, like, the fact that it's Mahomes and, you know, whatever you're getting from Kelce.
Who are you throwing to? Hollywood Brown.
They still have tight ends. Like, the fact that Xavier Worthy went out and the whole operation stalled for 2.5 quarters is kind of odd to me.
That was last year, too. I mean, stalled. The Chiefs just, I don't know. They were showing to Hollywood Brown, who I'm not the biggest fan of. Juju, Tyquan Thornton looked good. I would stop throwing to Hollywood Brown. Like, he had yak opportunities that he just left on the floor again and again and again.
Big Friendly, got about a minute, sir. Good morning. How are you?
Magsy Malone, the Rams were not afraid of the cold. They were out in preseason with no shirts on. I need more time. Daddy Cool, me and you need to talk. I'm calling tomorrow.
Okay.
I will speak to you guys tomorrow.
All right.
Have a great day.
That's a tease.
Yeah, I was thinking about
the Rams were out in the cold before that Eagles game. Is that what we're talking about? NFC divisional round?
Yeah, they got blown off the field for the first 49 minutes. And they kind of came back and terrified me.
I'll say kind of came back.
Who the women are.
That was a freaky, freaky. I mean, the Eagles thought they had the game won. They didn't think the Rams could move on that field. They probably underestimated Matthew Stafford, but they came away with a W.
I got to get to work. I love you.
Man, I got to be honest. Brick Friendly, what a Hall of Fame caller when he told Manny that women need to smell you. Let's never forget that happened.
I've seen women. You want to go where the women are. Be in smelling range. I'm a bottom man. I've seen women.
Be in smelling range.
Manny Wapo.
Man,
yeah, how's that project going? Where Big Friendly is going to mentor Manny into a beautiful girlfriend, possibly even Carol G.
Carol G's available, maybe. I saw
Manny popping bands. Let me hold something, baby.
I forgot what comedian this was, or a woman saying, where are all the men between 25 and 38 or whatever she was lamenting? And he's like, well, we're at the children's hospital in the morning and then at a puppy dog's.
Damn right we are.
He's like, it's football season. We're anywhere where there's TVs, alcohol, and chicken wings.
By the way, why do you think Carol G doesn't have a boyfriend? Because Manny offhandedly said it so, and you assume that he'd done all the research?
She could be married to royalty, as far as I know. No, I didn't even know who she was until that halftime game.
Well, whose fault is that?
Well, apparently, a little quick internet research.
No, no.
She has a boyfriend who is from, his name is...
go ahead.
F-E-I-D.
Right. She is with Fade. Yes, the Colombian rapper. Yes, of course she is with Fade. Ah, damn it.
Foiled again, Manny.
Fade.
Yes, Fade. Fade. Yeah, he's pretty good. I'll get some Fade songs for tomorrow.
Okay, great. So we got Big Friendly's going to call in tomorrow. Yeah. We got Fade tomorrow.
Do Fade or Carol G record, like, do they sell at Records in America?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe not as much as Bad Bunny, but they're popular here.
Great debate tomorrow as well. EJ Stewart, thank you. Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers, Dynamite today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.